Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here. Right now, score up to 80% off everything home. These are our best deals of the year. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday sale now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
The United States government remains shut down today after agreement was not reached on a resolution that would keep the government funded. It means that many federal employees are either furloughed or working entirely without pay, with the White House now threatening mass job cuts within a couple of days. So who serves to benefit most from a shutdown, perhaps even a prolonged shutdown? Brett Bruen, president of the Global Situation Room and former director of global engagement at the White House during the Obama presidency, is with me in studio. Brett, good morning and welcome.
Great to be back in Dublin.
Now, to put this in a context, first of all, let's listen to the Senate minority leader. He is... I'm told I don't have that clip yet. I'll bring it to you in a moment. Anyway, Chuck Schumer, and we'll talk about him and his change of mind since March. But first of all, the extent of the shutdown and what it means.
Well, this is what is particularly unusual, Pat, because in the past, shutdowns have not actually meant a full shutdown. Obviously, when I was on the National Security Council in the State Department, there were many functions that had to continue. However, the notion of the shutdown was only essential services would continue. What we're seeing now from President Trump is he's more selectively and more politically assessing what it is he's going to shut down, trying to take advantage. Just in the last day, he announced that New York, which had been due for billions of dollars, in fact, the project is underway to build a new train subway tunnel from New Jersey to New York, that would be stopped. There are a number of projects
in
blue states.
And that's about the mayoral candidate for the Democrats, really.
And it's about, quite frankly, making it as punitive as possible, politically punitive. And this is unprecedented, Pat. We certainly have gone through quite a lot of shutdowns in the past. But the notion that the president is going to take advantage of a shutdown to punish people who happen to live in states where his political opponents are stronger is un-American.
Now, eventually, this has got to start paying. Being held against him, because people are saying, I've lost my job. I voted for that guy. I'm certainly not going to do so again or for any of his cohorts.
Well, and this is where it's critically important. And I've been saying to folks, you've got to not look at the last 9 months. You got to look at the next 9 months, and the next few years, because, yes, Trump came into office blustering, bulldozing, and he has had largely a free hand. However, we are in the midst of a shutdown. I think that is going to somewhat deflate the power that he wields. Secondly, it's also a time again in the United States for local and state elections, which will happen next month. Democrats are likely to do well in places like Virginia, where I live, where Republicans will lose the governorship, New Jersey as well. And I think that is going to be a cautionary sign for a lot of Republicans who have to fundraise, who are weighing whether they want to run for re-election. Next year, in November, are our legislative elections. And that is the decisive moment for Democrats. If they can take back at least one of the two houses of Congress, and they are likely to because there's 21 seats in the House that are up for grabs despite all of this gerrymandering talk, Democrats are going to be able to rein in Trump, and he is going to be a lame Donald Duck.
And now we'll talk about whether or not those elections will ever be free and fair in a moment. But first of all, I want to play a little of what Chuck Schumer, the Senate Minority Leader, had to say about this particular confrontation with the administration.
I'm going to not pay our bills unless I get my way. It's a politics of idiocy, of confrontation, of paralysis.
Shutting down government over a policy difference is self-defeating. We can never hold American workers hostage again. While the CR bill is very bad, the potential for a shutdown has consequences for America that are much, much worse. Therefore, I will vote to keep the government open and not shut it down.
So here we have a situation where Chuck Schumer voted to keep the government open in March and now is determined to shut it down.
Except we have seen since March what Donald Trump is willing to do. He is willing to put soldiers on the streets of the United States. He is willing to exercise the power of the presidency in unimaginable ways. So while, yes, back in March that held true, and I think the Democrats were trying to respect the government workers, they were trying to respect the process, and indeed what we have long believed, because it was Republicans traditionally that would push towards a shutdown. And yet now this is the last vestige of power that the Democrats can wield in Washington, because you got to get to 60 votes in the Senate in order to get the government back to open.
Are there many waivers, though, who might be persuaded?
I don't think so at this moment. And look, Trump actually has more to lose in this, because he has projected this absolute power. And so right now, while traditionally presidents have fared better from shutdowns because the opposition in Congress has seemed obstinate and intransigent, the thing with Trump is he now wields so much power that people are looking to him and saying, okay, well, what have you actually put on the table to try to resolve this? And right now, the only thing he's put on the table is a pretty offensive meme of Hakeem Jeffries, the leader of the Democrats in the House, wearing a sombrero and a mustache.
And the promise from J.D. Vance that they'll stop that if they get their way.
Which
we promise not to be offensive if we get our way.
And quite frankly, this is emblematic of the way both Vance and Trump govern. We're going to mock you. We're going to belittle you. And if you want it to stop, give in to everything we're asking. And that has not traditionally been the way American politics work. And I think also, Pat, back to that question of this November's elections, next November's elections, there are a lot of Americans, including Americans on the right, in the center, who are just growing tired of this. And it's overwhelming. I can't tell you, getting off the plane here in Dublin, there is a weight that is removed from your shoulders just because of the all-consuming, the oppressive politics that we live in the United States today.
The question I asked there a few moments ago, will these elections be free and fair?
Hey,
football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/football. Points TC.
Gains, unfortunately, a very real question. And obviously, we have seen already Trump is pushing for what are unprecedented mid-decade redrawing of our congressional lines that only has happened, and constitutionally, it says every 10 years. But Trump has said, no, I want more seats. And so Greg Abbott in Texas, now in states like Missouri, Indiana, they're starting to redraw those lines. Now you have Gavin Newsom in California, J.B. Pritzker in Illinois, who are saying, okay, you want to play that game? We'll balance it out. At the end of the day, as I said before, there are 21 seats up for grabs in the House of Representatives. There is economic gravity, and Trump may have escaped political gravity. He may have escaped legal gravity. I don't think he can escape economic gravity, and the economy is starting to sputter. Americans are paying more at the grocery store. They're losing jobs. The shutdown isn't going to help.
Okay, but if you've got ICE people based at every station, even though you have nothing to fear, you're a born American, you've got your birthright citizenship and so on, but you happen to be brown.
Yeah.
And you think, maybe I better not show up there because these guys don't ask too many questions before they throw me in the back of a van.
And that's precisely the problem, is there are these warrantless arrests, and you've seen the video circulating on social media, that there is no establishing of your nationality. There's no establishing of the fact. It's simply you happen to look, and this was what was so reprehensible about the Supreme Court's recent decision. Mm-hmm. They said, if you happen to look like you're illegal, whatever that means, then we can detain you. And that detention, I can tell you from personal stories that I have heard from friends who are American citizens, who have family members who are American citizens, who get hauled off to Louisiana. They're there for weeks. Their lawyer can't get in touch with them. This is America in the 21st century. It was unthinkable.
I feel like shouting across the Atlantic, wake up, America. Can you not see what's happening before your very eyes? Why can people not see it? Is that they don't see it on Fox News, which is where they get their so-called news?
Well, and I will also take some level of responsibility. I don't think Democrats are doing a particularly effective job of counter-messaging. Trump right now is dominating the airways, and you see whether it's Chuck Schumer, Hakeem Jeffries, or you know any arrangement of Democratic politicians, and quite frankly, their punches aren't landing. They are not effectively operating in the 21st century communications environment, which requires you to simplify it, requires you to come up with stuff that is more sticky. And Trump is playing a communications game that is far more sophisticated than the Democrats are. And unless and until we get better at it, we're not going to start winning these debates.
Gavin Newsom has responded in kind to Trump's carry-on, and he's entertained the nation, if nothing else. He certainly hasn't entertained Donald Trump. But there are other people like Jasmine Crockett, who's very effective in critiquing the administration.
They are, and they are isolated examples. I don't think you can even win the Democratic primary with hair as stiff and sharp as Gavin Newsom. But nonetheless, you're right. He is showing a path towards what the Democrats need to be doing. And they've got to get better at both the tactics that they're using, but also the message, Pat. And that's where we're still struggling. If it was simply a question, we don't have a single strong leader, but we have a strong message. Mm-hmm. We haven't yet landed on what that message is. We think it's the economy. We think as these tariffs start to bite, as the prices start to go up, that's where we should be focused. Mm. But up until now, Trump's numbers really haven't cratered.
Now, the protocol in the United States seems to be that former presidents stay shtum about most things. But it's kind of disappointing that President Obama is as quiet as he is. Even when he came to Dublin, his remarks were not particularly strong and emphatic about the dangers to America's democracy.
Well, and I have to say, I am particularly disappointed with President Obama. The fact, for instance, that he was here in Dublin, that he was doing a paid speech, that he was, I believe we talked about last time, photos for 3,000 euros a pop. That's not what the American people, that's not what the world needs President Obama to be doing right now. And I have, you know, quietly said, and now I will say it out loud, Obama needs to get back in the game. We need to have all of our best players on the field. And I understand.
Kamala Harris vanished too while she was writing a book, and she has emerged in recent weeks, but.
And in an unhelpful fashion. Yeah, I think, you know, this notion, whether it was Hillary Clinton or now Kamala Harris, of let me write a book that casts me in the best light possible, that damages the party, that damages the issues that we're trying to advance, is not, quite frankly, in the interest of
the
American people.
Have you read the book, the Kamala Harris book?
I have not. I've seen the excerpts.
I'm just wondering, she's criticism of the Democratic Party for not getting rid of Joe earlier. Who's closest to Joe? The vice president is. I mean, if anyone comes in with that proverbial pistol and says, here you are, you know what you must do, it should be the vice president.
And I said it last summer, and I will say it again. She needed to speak out then, when given the opportunity, and say, what are the differences between you, Madam Vice President, and President Biden? She didn't do it when she needed to. And this, that I'm now going to level with the American people in a tell-all book, is not how politics is supposed to work. And as you rightly said, Pat, she was the vice president. She was the person who was closest to power and who needed to speak truth to power. She didn't apparently in that moment, and I think history will judge her harshly for it.
Which is what Mike Pence ultimately did to Donald Trump. He spoke truth to power.
He did, and I will take my cap off to Pence, because that is not an easy thing to do. I remember reading as a kid John F. Kennedy's book, Profiles in Courage, looking at those moments in history when political leaders took that difficult choice, and he did, and he rightly is being recognized for that courage. In Harris's case, it was unfortunately quite the opposite.
Now, one of the questions from a listener here, what happens if Trump refuses to accept the results of the midterms? Will his handpicked Supreme Court judges stand up to him?
I would have said a year ago, yes, of course, our judicial system will stand. You know, I'll give the listener an immediate indicator of what we are likely to see next year. And that is to say, if the Supreme Court in the next couple of weeks reins in Trump's power on tariffs, which I expect that they will, it signals that they are going to put up some guardrails. They are not just, you know, giving him carte blanche. And so I hold out some modicum of hope that we will yet see from the Supreme Court, from at least, you know, five of the Supreme Court members that power to stand up and to defend the Constitution.
Yeah, but here's the issue. Their problem is if they vote in one way to confront Trump and Trump disobeys what the Supreme Court says.
Yeah.
So they may be weighing this up. Is it better to go along with him and not, if you like, threaten our own existence or even our own power or the fundamentals of the Constitution? If this man says no to the Supreme Court, what then?
And that's where we come back to that Pence moment of political courage. And I'm looking across Trump's cabinet and I'm asking myself, who has the power? Maybe Marco Rubio. I have known Marco Rubio to be a stand-up guy. I don't agree with everything he's saying or doing right now. Now, he's not in the position controlling the Department of Justice. He's not controlling the Department of Defense. You know, we can talk about what happened in that embarrassing performance at Quantico in front of all the generals with Trump and Pete Hegseth. It is worrying. And yet, you know, I look at that photo of the general sitting there and I say to myself, they take an oath to the Constitution of the United States, not to a president.
They were not impressed by either performance, Hegseth or Trump. And silence greeting Hegseth's speech, that was not what he expected.
It encourages me because ultimately, and there are, you know, those cases in history where generals say that is an illegal order. I will not execute it. Now, does that mean
they get fired?
They get fired and they may. But I think it also politically then becomes more difficult for certain Republicans to defend what Trump's doing. And we've seen examples, Ted Cruz, who is not by any stretch of the imagination a moderate Republican. When Jimmy Kimmel was taken off the air, he called the chairman of the FCC, Brandon Carr, a mafia boss. And I think that's the splitting that is really important to watch, and especially after this November, where Republicans are going to start looking at their own political interests.
All right, two final things. Marjorie Taylor Greene, straw in the wind for some sort of a schism or schism in MAGA.
You've seen examples of it, and yes, shockingly, she and a few others on the outer extremities of the MAGA movement have been willing to stand up when they disagree with the administration. Again, back to this notion of splitting. I think after November, you're going to see more Republicans starting to splinter off on certain issues.
Is all that's going on at the moment with the shutdown and all the rest a huge distraction that Trump welcomes from the Epstein affair?
And yet the Epstein affair just doesn't go away. So, yes, this may be a temporary reprieve, but I don't believe that with all of the mountains of evidence, with all of the photos and even videos of Trump and Epstein together, you can simply sweep this under the rug. It has a staying power, Pat, that doesn't exist on many other issues.
The indictment of James Comey. We know that Comey facilitated the election of Trump in the first term by injudicious decisions about Hillary Clinton's emails. Then they became implacable enemies because Trump fired him. He welcomes the prospect of going to trial. I don't know whether it'll beggar him, impoverish him doing that, or whether he'll mount his own defense. But are you confident that the courts will hear that fairly?
Well, and I would encourage listeners to read the transcript of the first hearing, because Trump's personally appointed assistant U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of Virginia presents the case to the judge, and the judge says to her, have you read the two indictment counts? And she said, I've read one. I mean, that is just an illustration of how poorly this case has been constructed. I think ultimately Comey is right that he will be able to use this moment, and Jimmy Kimmel was another one, where when you go after certain people, it provides them the oxygen, it provides them a powerful platform for projecting their message, and Trump has to be careful there.
Finally, back to Quantico and that suggestion by Trump that he would be using the military in American cities to train them up for war. I mean, a bizarre thing to say, illegal thing to say. What consequences for Trump?
And it sends shivers down my spine, because we fought a revolution to get soldiers out of our streets, out of our homes. And Trump has thrown 250 years of tradition out the window because he wants to look tough. He wants the viral video moments. I don't think Americans stand for it. They will tolerate a lot. Right now, okay, it was Washington, D.C. That, you know, is not quote unquote real America. But as we start getting into places like Chicago, Memphis, Tennessee, that is going to hit differently. And I think Trump has got to tread very, very carefully.
Well, it's certainly not boring, that's for sure. Brett Bruen, president of the Global Situation Room, former director of global engagement at the White House during the Obama presidency. Brett, thank you very much for joining us in the studio.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.